Well, on this All Saints Sunday, as we listen to these beautiful scripture readings, I see they're all inviting us to ponder the power of resurrection, this idea that as children of God, we are all given this incredible miracle where death is not the final word, not for the saints of God, not for any of us who kneel at the feet of Jesus like we see Mary and Martha doing in our story when their brother dies, when Lazarus dies. Instead, our hope, of course, is in a God who is described in Revelation, and I mentioned it last week, so I get to say it again, a God who is making all things new and who wipes every tear away from our eyes. It's a beautiful image, right? So we have this great and wonderful hope, but still, suffering and death are still a part of our reality. That reality of suffering is demonstrated in our story today, right? This, you see the tears and anguish of Mary and Martha in the gospel story as their brother has died. Notice Jesus himself is crying at the tomb of Lazarus. It's, you know, the old King James Version is the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. You know it. Some of you know it. It's always the easiest one to memorize. I know Bible verse. Jesus wept. But how profound is that? Right? Because he's standing there and he grieves with us. He cries and grieves and mourns. He is there with Martha and Mary in their mourning and sadness. And he does so even though Jesus knows the power of resurrection. Jesus knows he is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet he cries. He weeps. He knows the awesome power of God. And he wants us to know it too. Our God is a God who is in the business of constantly bringing new life and resurrection out of death, right? This season of fall, this is one of those seasons, autumn, right, where we are reminded of this beautiful truth, the grand reminder of the universal principle we see in the trees. Well, it's more visible in other parts of the country than San Diego, but it's still here, right, as the leaves' colors turn and the leaves fall and they die. We know, we are reminded of resurrection, of new life. They're going to, of course, bud and bloom again in the spring. Out of death comes new life. And every change ushers a new way of being. And it is truly this cycle then of death and resurrection that we get to be a part of, where death is never the final word. Now, if resurrection seems like an obscure concept, think for a moment maybe about your own life, some of those experiences of loss that gave way to new life that you experienced. As a parent, I recognize that we experience, like every parent knows, I think, we experience these losses or these feels like these little miniature deaths, these things that are so hard to let go of in our children's lives with each phase of life, right? Where the preciousness of infancy is lost forever to be replaced by toddlerhood. And then we lose toddlerhood, which is lost forever to be replaced by childhood, which is then replaced by teenagehood. You know, not my absolute favorite one. But then there's young adulthood and so on, right? You know this. We know this is true. And I always, every fall, and when, you know, when the school year starts, we switch out all the clothes, right? And you know how that is. You get rid of the clothes that don't fit them anymore because it's a new school year. And every year it's like so painful to box those clothes up and put them away because it's like those memories that were made in those clothes and then they're gone forever. And there's just this certain amount of grief that comes with that. And so parenting can carry with it grief, even when things are going splendidly, right? But we know that there's this loss. Sometimes the loss is even much deeper, right? I think I've shared before in this congregation that I've lost several children during pregnancy and the way that that weighs on me. And I wait for resurrection, for the day that I may maybe be reunited then, I imagine, with this child, particularly with Annabelle, a daughter that I lost in pregnancy. I wait for this joy of resurrection. But this idea of death and resurrection can really apply to anything in our lives, right? Every change we experience, for good or for ill, is a death of some kind that opens us up to new vistas, new opportunities, and even resurrection. Like a really obvious one maybe that you've experienced, some of you, is maybe a career change. Or perhaps just career ending and moving into retirement and being able to embrace this new life of retirement. I can only imagine, right? Where you are embracing new tasks and new interests and passions in your life that you didn't have time for before. So what losses in your life have given way to new life, new resurrection? Loss and resurrection are events that can be very much spread out over time, right? Sometimes, of course, we wait an entire lifetime before we can experience resurrection again. But sometimes it happens in rapid succession. When my son Grayson was 2 years old, I had this kind of experience while we were living in Portland, Oregon. I had been out grocery shopping, and we got home. I parked on the street. I schlepped all of my groceries up the sidewalk and up this long staircase that we had into the house, and Grayson was just toddling behind me. I opened the front door. I heard the phone ringing, my cell phone, so I had stepped into the kitchen, picked up the phone, started talking to my sister. We got into something important. Maybe 1 or 2 minutes had passed, and I realized Grayson wasn't in their house with me. He wasn't in the house yet. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's dawdling outside on the stairs, on the street. I'll go get him. So I'm talking to my phone, going out, looking for him, poking my head out the door, like, hurry up, you know. But he wasn't there. So I was puzzled at that point. Okay, wait. Maybe he just, like, snuck in the house behind me and I didn't see him. So then I start walking around the house looking for him, going to every room. He's not in the house. I again poked outside, and I started calling out his name, Grayson. No answer. I asked my oldest daughter, Charlotte, to please check the house for me, like look under every bed. I'm going back outside, like where is this kid? Still no sign of him. She's looking through the house. I'm starting to call louder and louder now. Grayson, Grayson. No answer. We're in the front yard. We're in the backyard. We're on the sidewalks. We're going down the block. I am obviously off the phone at this point, screaming at the top of my lungs, Grayson! So much so that now the neighbors are coming outside. I'm thinking, how could he be out of earshot? It was a minute or two that I was in the house. I'm now running down the street. Neighbors are starting to yell. They're all calling. Basically, now we have 4 or 5 people, an entire search party forms. We're combing the neighborhood, yelling, screaming, going everywhere. I keep yelling. They keep yelling. I'm going back and in and out of the house again. My mind is racing. My heart is pounding at this point. All you parents know what I'm talking about. And this chilling thought comes over me that a 2-year-old doesn't have, they're not fast enough to disappear. Was he abducted? Right? Of course, that's what parents often think when they go missing, but it really was one of those moments of, I can't imagine another scenario right now. And I remember hearing a car and an engine when I went into the house. And I'm thinking, did it stop? Did it pick him up? Is he gone? So with adrenaline surging through me and this feeling of growing terror and the neighbors combing the neighborhood, about 20 minutes passes by. And I am absolutely hysterical. One of the neighbor's women, she looks right at me and she's like, I am so sorry, but it is time to call the police. We cannot waste time. I mean, he is missing and we need to file a missing persons report. A 2-year-old doesn't vanish like that. So the full weight of what was happening in that moment when she said that, she's handing me her phone, I became dizzy. I felt nauseated. She dials the police, she hands me the phone, and I'm stammering. They're asking all the questions, you know. My hands are shaking. His date of birth, his appearance, our location, what he was wearing. I'm feeling like this is totally surreal, and I'm begging God internally as we do, like, God, please, please, no, please help me, you know? And in the middle of that phone call, somewhere there's just this thought, like, go back and check the car again. We had already checked the car, but just look again. So while I'm talking and I'm talking to the police, I open the door again. I still don't see him, but this time I pull the seat all the way back, and he is there, huddled in a little ball on the floor, hiding. I pick him up. I hold him in my arms. His eyes are like big as like deer in the headlights. He's scared. And I start sobbing. I collapse to the ground on my knees, holding him, rocking him, thanking God over and over again. The emotions are just washing over me. I'm thinking, he's okay. My son was lost, but he is found. And it felt like I'd experienced in a very short amount of time loss and new life, death and resurrection. I'll never forget it. I don't know why he was there. We still don't know what happened or why he was there. But I still thank God that we found him. And it made me think and imagine the day that we will see and be reunited with the ones we've loved and lost. It made me think of that embrace, that holding them, that weeping, the reuniting that is beyond our comprehension. That is the promise of All Saints Day. We will be reunited. It is a day of resurrection. It is a day of reminding us that death gives way to new life, like Lazarus and his sisters experienced. It does so for all God's people, all the saints of God. We've been called to be saints in God's kingdom, and it is a kingdom where death cannot hold us. It is a kingdom of second chances. It is a kingdom of new life. And so please embrace today this promise of All Saints and embrace that hope and that joy that sustains us on our way. Thanks be to God.